Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Box Office Breakdown. Information and commentary on weekly movie box office.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Box Office Breakdown. I'm glad to be here. This is Sarah Stretton, and I have today with me a very lovely special guest.
Thank you. I'm here every week, but
yeah,
I try.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking to the wonderful woman on your left.
Yes. Yeah, don't bully me.
I'm not bullying.
You haven't even started the show.
Miss Roxy Schreier, thank
Hello.
You for coming in.
Do I look like Finstock?
You're so much prettier.
I will take it, girl.
I'm actually... The only bad part of this is I actually finally have a prop to throw at him, and he's not here. My dirty tissues, because I'm sick because of this horrible box office week. No. And I would have thrown them at Finstock, but he's not here, and I won't be throwing anything at your lovely face.
He wouldn't have minded because of your pigtails. He would have just taken it, I think.
Yeah, I don't think he would have argued with that.
Yeah. JT, are you ready for a show with two girls?
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting. This is the first show without Finstock. I've missed a few weeks because of work. You missed a few weeks for your traveling, like Carmen San Diego. But Finstock, yeah, it's the first time he's not here. And I'm getting messages on my phone. Sorry.
Is it from Finstock?
Probably. No, it's not.
He's having anxiety.
Oh.
Somebody's saying, sorry, they're going to miss Box Office Breakdown today. Aww. That's how good our fans are.
We're really
They're saying we're sorry.
Sweet. We're going to miss you too, fans.
Erwin. His name is Erwin.
Also, before we get into this week's numbers and our games and our lists and all of our normal stuff, also, we might be getting a surprise phone call from Mr. Tom with his legendary game. We'll see about that, though. I want to thank some fans in particular for winning some stuff. Our Facebook winner, I'm ready for this name.
This is tough.
Fazhanith.
Yep.
Suntharalingam. Yes.
Nailed it.
Got it.
Nailed it. I wouldn't know.
The Facebook guesses. Congratulations. Thomas Elvin was close to, I think, 600,000 off of the Mad Max total.
Yeah, really close.
So really nice
job.
Well
done.
Yeah, all of us failed on Pitch Perfect. We're all, I guess, best office losers.
We'll get into that.
We are. Well, we will get into those numbers. And finally, the big winner of this week. We have done some looking into this. And when I say we, I mean... Our fans have looked into who has won the most box office breakdown predictions, and the winner is JTE.
The man, the myth, the legend, set from the angel from heaven. The one and only.
Yes.
Listen, I know a thing or two about movies. It's just something that's a fact, and I'm glad we have scientific proof now.
I'm just so happy how humble you've remained.
I try to, and I'm glad you noticed.
Yeah, I really did.
It's a hard thing. I mean, listen, Sarah, you know your movies. You work at a movie theater.
I do know my movies. I think that my problem is I go with my heart more than my brain sometimes.
Whatever you want to be is what you predict, absolutely.
I just try and will it.
And Finstock, you know, he's a mad genius, but, you know, even...
He cheats.
You think he cheats?
Yes.
Because he can see the future.
I think he actually plugs in numbers to Box Office Mojo.
Oh, yeah.
I
think
do.
So?
I think he cheats.
Trust me, he wish he could be here with you guys.
I could see that.
Oh, my...
I could see that.
I just totally forgot he gave me questions to ask you guys. Right at the top of the show, and I left it in my back, so hold on.
Okay.
I'm jumping off real quick.
What kind of questions are there? I don't know if I want him to jump off. He's jumping off and taking things with him.
He's taking down the set. All right, well, while he's looking for questions, I will go through a quick run-through just so you guys know what the top five is. The number one spot, this is the thing we're probably going to talk the most about, went to Pitch Perfect 2.
We're back, Pitches!
Breaking in $70 million. Totally stomped out the competition. Mad Max was at $44 million. I don't want to say only, because that's really good. But taking the second spot, making Avengers drop all the way down to number 3 with 38. And then we get Hot Pursuit at number 4, bringing in only about $5.7 million.
Big drop off.
And then I'm just going to say that the number 5th spot goes to Furious 7, although technically that makes me lying because the 5th spot goes to another horrible movie that's tied currently. Don't say it.
I know, Paul Blart, I'm sorry.
Furious 7, both of these movies came in with currently 3.6 million. We will get actuals, and I'm just I'm just praying that certain movies don't have to be talked about ever again.
How many weeks would this have been that they were in the top five? That Paul Blair was in the top five? Oh, man,
since it's came out. I don't think it ever dropped out of five.
It's in its fifth week. This is a movie that should, in my opinion, okay, I would have given it the first week it had to happen. It should have been gone. Yeah. It should have been out of the top five within by week number two.
Well, for a while, again, it's the only thing that is really out for kids. Yeah, Avengers is going to bring the kids in, but this is the only real full family-friendly film that's out there. And Home was actually doing really well for a while.
True.
And I think this is just kind of, you know, took that place of Home, which Home was in, God, how long was it in the top five for? Forever.
Yeah.
Because it was the only kids movie out there.
Right now, it's in number, it's at number eight, and it's in its eighth week. So it still hasn't dropped that far, Home.
Yeah, I know. Again, animated. Animated movies. You want to make money in Hollywood? Make an animated movie.
No, if you want to make it, if you want to make a movie in Hollywood, I guess make another singing movie with Anna Kendrick.
Apparently, a cappella. I like. I usually say on the show, I like to think I have my finger to the pulse of the people. I missed. I did not get enough credit to the people of the a cappella community because apparently people like singing. And
JT also hasn't seen Pitch Perfect.
I've never seen Pitch Perfect.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, he says he's a movie knower. Major character flaw. I'm telling you, you're going to like it. You're actually going to enjoy it.
That's what I hear from people.
Which I wouldn't just say that if I was like, oh my God, I love this movie. You're actually going to enjoy it. I unfortunately haven't seen Pitch Perfect 2 yet. I absolutely will. And if I wasn't traveling this past week, I would have seen it the day that it came out because I love Pitch Perfect 1. I've seen it like 75 times.
What is it about the movie that really makes it universal? Is it the comedy? Because I mean, is it the music? What is it to you if you had to put your finger on it?
I do think a lot of it is the comedy because I think that it speaks to both genders, all ages. Like, I just think it's one of the most funny, laugh-out-loud movies. And then the music is awesome. It's not like, oh my gosh, this is an Into the Woods or Chicago or a musical kind of movie, but songs that you know you love that are on the radio, whatnot. It's kind of like, for the same reason Glee was such a phenomenon, this became a huge hit.
It's kind of like Happy Feet. Because penguins are the movie, the, those penguins.
No.
Those
I'm
penguins
gonna,
are all
I'm
singing.
Go with no.
No, hold on. The penguins in that movie are all singing well-known music, but well-known songs from famous artists.
Okay,
but filtered instead of through a cappella, through singing.
So
and
minus
dancing
the
penguins. Yeah.
Minus the penguins, add in some Mean Girls and throw in a shot of some like SNL. Or something. The comedy has a big note. The girl's popularity struggle has a big note. So
it's a mixture
of those things.
Let me ask you this. Do you know who directed Happy Feet?
No, I don't know who directed it.
George Miller, the same man who directed our number two movie, Mad Max. That in radio is what you call Segway.
Honest to God, did not know that.
He directed Happy Feet 1 and 2. Also directed Babe, Pig in the City.
Well,
this guy
has
a range.
Quite the arc.
I think that's very impressive. That's even more impressive than I thought that it was going to be.
Thank you. And this guy is the one who started off with Road Warrior, Mad Max.
Yeah.
And somehow transitioned to these kids' movies and had a lot of success. And I'm so glad he's back in his roots because let's talk about the number two movie of the week.
All right. So pitch us on
Mad Max Fury Road. Listen, I saw it again this weekend. I saw it with Finstock last Monday in Beverly Hills.
He went without me. He invited Tom over me.
That's not true. That's not. Finstock invited himself before I could invite anybody. So
that is not a good defense. Wow, what you just said did not justify at all.
He also works right next to where the theater was at.
Pretty girl.
So many excuses.
Finstock.
So pretty girl.
How would I be if I just backed out, agreeing? Somebody said, "Oh, sorry, I can't bring you. Sarah wants to go."
He would have been like, "Oh yeah, totally. I would have taken Sarah over you too."
He said that
on the show. He said that on the show.
Damn right.
You know him so well.
Yeah.
All right. Pitch us on Mad Max.
Well, I mean, what's their pitch on? Look at the reviews.
Make the pitch
rave
perfect.
Dear God. Look at the rave reviews. I was raving about this movie for like 2 weeks, and everyone's like, "Oh, you're overhyping it a little bit." And then the reviews came out. Every single respected critic is saying masterpiece. One of the best action movies of all time.
Every single
99%.
There you go.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Because our current amazing movie critic, Mr. Mance, is not one of the people raving about this movie. So do not give out the 100%.
Well, it's at 99%. Scott, you know, listen, something... I don't know how to explain that.
Right.
I would like to take a group of scientists and, like, put them in a room with a bunch of movies and try to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. It's not, like, might win some technical Oscars. It's not going to probably be nominated for Best Picture. It's not that kind of movie. When I say it's a masterpiece in its genre. It's a masterpiece in action filmmaking.
I like that you put the word spectacle. Probably in there. Probably won't be nominated for Best Picture.
Listen, I have hope. I hoped it would be number one this weekend, and I have hope it would be win an Oscar for something. I don't care what. It needs to be recognized. Something this good needs to be recognized, and it's being recognized by the critics. And obviously, listen, $44 million for an R-rated movie to a sequel to a franchise that's over 30 years old right. is good numbers, especially with Radar.
I'm really glad that people are, in general, perceiving this well, because I thought the trailer was so incredible, and if the so movie good. Hadn't lived up to that, mm-hmm. it would have been just another example of how trailers can make you believe one thing about a movie that's complete crap. But that's not what happened in this case. The trailer made us believe it was great, and then people who saw the movie thought it the same thing.
On top of that, I think that when you look at the hype around this movie, it has had such good word of mouth versus a different spin it could have had. If you look at movies like Jupiter Ascending, which got put through the gutter because people were saying there was problems on set or there was problems between the actors and the directors. They were having to do all these reshoots. Mad Max had some of those issues as well.
Shot 2 years ago.
And people aren't harping on that. That hasn't how their marketing team has spun this. They've been throwing out words like Cirque du Soleil and practical effects and really pumping up Charlize Theron. Like, they have done a really great job moving the focus. I don't know if it was how they brought their critics in, their choice of release when they allowed those critics' reviews to come out, but this is a movie who had the potential to have really bad word of mouth starting.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who lives in Hollywood and went to a screening last year, because they do these test screenings where people come in, they rate between like 1 and 10, what'd you think of the movie? And then they had scheduled a Q&A afterwards to talk. It's a focus group. My friend said they went, saw the movie. Everyone on the exit polls were giving it like 9 to or 10 out of 10. And the reviews were so good that they canceled the Q&A after the screening, because they realized, holy crap, there's nothing to ask. It's testing like through the roof at right now. So when I hear stuff like that, I was like, they must have just been licking their chops winning this thing. And let me tell you, I was at Comic-Con when this thing premiered, the trailer. Batman v Superman, Avengers, Age of Ultron. These were all the trailers people wanted to see. When I left Hall H on the last day of Comic-Con, I went to the Schmo crew. And I said, the best thing I saw this weekend was Mad Max Fury Road trailer. And that kind of surprised everybody. It wasn't until weeks later when the trailer finally hit online, everyone was like, wow, you were right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It does look better than anything else we've seen.
Well, Mad Max has had the ninth place opening of the year with its $44.4 million. That is right above Taken 3 that had 39, and that's right above Kingsman, which had 36. So we've kind of predicting a similar trajectory as the King, or I am. I'm predicting kind of a similar trajectory as the Kingsman. How that went, we're going to probably see the same thing with Mad Max, but it has a really strong footing. It's coming right in below home.
But let me say, the word of mouth and the rave reviews are really going to help it. Let me ask you a quick question. Do you think it will, in the end, make more than Pitch Perfect in the U.S.?
In the U.S.?
In the U.S. Because a lot of people I'm hearing have seen Pitch Perfect 2. They enjoyed it, but not as much as the first one, whereas everyone that comes out of Mad Max is telling everyone and their mother to go see it.
I think it might. I think that the bigger question would be, if this movie did everything right and people are so into it, what could it have possibly done to open in front of Pitch Perfect this weekend? It did everything right. So now I think it will be about word of mouth and people will start seeing it, because across the board, people love this movie.
I can't say that it's going to do better. Looking at Pitch Perfect, which has the fourth strongest opening of the year at 70, the only movie that's close to that opening-wise is pretty much like 50 Shades of Grey. And that had horrible word of mouth. Yeah. And I'm not going to talk about the overseas, because it did really well overseas. Yeah. And had a huge drop-off and still made $166 million. Mm-hmm. Pitch Perfect has the same strong opening, but it has better word of mouth. People still want to see it. They're going to come out, I think, pretty even. Like, Kingsman has made a total of $127, and that was on good word of mouth with like a strong high 30s opening. I think we're probably going to see around 160, and we'll probably see
for both of them.
I think Pitch Perfect could be a little bit higher.
Interesting.
Maybe like 180.
Very interesting. This is why I love this show. I can't wait to see where this hat goes, because I feel like I do think it's going to be very close. I think Mad Max is going to head some ground, mm-hmm. especially over this opening weekend. I just don't know if it's going to make enough ground to surpass it.
Right.
That's what I'm really curious to see. Like I said, a movie like this doesn't come around very often, and I'm hoping people respond to that.
What I do want to mention is I'm not going to spend too much time this week talking about our other three, the Avengers. We're not going to really talk about Pursuit or Fear 7 / other movie. but to mention, just to keep you guys looking at not only our weekly mm-hmm. box office numbers, but also at our yearly box office numbers, we are already at, like, for domestic totals, like 3.8. And that's, I believe, in the billions. And versus last year at the end, we were looking at like 10.8, and the year before that, like 10.9. Mm-hmm. We are going to see, I think, a much higher overall domestic total in this year's box office. We are at pretty much a third of what was made last year. But you're, and that sounds, at first hearing that, you think, oh, well, it's been over a third of the year. Maybe we're not doing as well. But we're still talking about
Star Wars,
Jurassic World, Ant-Man, Fantastic Four, Terminator,
Creed.
Oh, you've got so many movies still coming
Mission Impossible.
Out. We are seeing so much money going to be pumped into the box office this
and
year.
Some of these movies that have come out so far this year have overperformed. Kingsman overperformed. Fast 7 hugely overperformed. Mm-hmm. And I think no one was predicting $70 million for Pitch Perfect this weekend. Everyone's saying around the 40 to 50, so that overperformed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If it stays like this, it's just going to destroy.
I think that you're spot on with what you're saying. This past week, I was in New York for Upfronts. No, I'm talking to Sarah, but you too, I guess. And I went to the NCM Upfronts, and they were talking about how they could almost guarantee this year would do at least bigger than last year, the year before, the previous years, because what they're doing in the box office right now is blowing everything up. Everything is so inflated, and we are so much advanced from where we were last year or the year before that. As long as things go as predicted, it should be a no-brainer.
And, well, it's just also so interesting because half the movies that I just listed are guarantees.
Right.
There actually is no chance that they're not going to make a lot of money.
Even if they suck.
Exactly. Yeah. Jurassic World, like, these movies are bringing in money. Versus when you looked the first 2 months of this year that we talked about, we had multiple movies just flop. Yeah. A lot of them were comedies, which was why Pitch Perfect also was such a wild card, because we were getting A-list stars dropping, like, Get Hard's on the top of the list didn't do well. We're talking about Black Hat, which had Hemsworth, which
destroyed.
Failed. Mordecai, Johnny Depp, Olivia Munn, destroyed. Like, now you have IMDb blasting out their DVD sales because that studio wants more money on that.
Yeah.
So we had when we talked about movies our first 2 months on box office breakdown this year, it was like, oh, this movie's not making $5 million. And now we're talking about movies that are making $5 million dollars in a minute.
Right.
It's insane.
The movies that are really, there's certain movies that ride the line where it could be a hit or it could be a flop. Mm-hmm. Like, but you look at movies like Tomorrowland with George Clooney. We're going to talk about that because it's one of the movies coming out next week. It could be a huge hit or it could be a mediocre hit, but I don't think it's going to be a flop. And then the week after that, you got The Rock in San Andreas. It's summertime. People like to see stuff explode and fall apart.
I think that's going to do incredibly well.
Exactly.
I think they've been planning these small earthquakes in California.
Yeah.
The ones that keep happening every couple of weeks.
That's them?
It's actually promotion. Marketing. You didn't know that.
Yeah. They have enough money to make that happen.
Seriously.
They really do.
I'm actually seeing it tomorrow morning. So I'm curious to see.
Oh, yeah. Who are you taking as your date?
I got invited this time by a Schmovillian. So he's hooking me up. And I'll let you know what I think. And if it's awesome, then I'll let you know.
Tell us.
Okay. This thing might not be a flop.
We will leave that into our predictions and into our new movie talk about. But let's go into international numbers real quick. Overseas, Pitch Perfect 2 grabbed an estimated $26.9 million. Mm-hmm. That's from 29 markets. That's an early total of $38.1 million, including last week's grosses from Australia and New Zealand. Already opened there. The worldwide total stands at $108.4 million. And according to this, which would be Box Office Mojo, should soar past $300 million.
You know what's amazing about that is the budget, I believe, is estimated at $29
million. Oh.
So this is a big money earner.
Yeah.
Yes. Good job, Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
Directorial debut.
It's her directorial debut.
I said it and I was like, wait.
It sounded good coming out of your mouth, though.
Yeah. So. She co-produced and directed. And I mean, listen, everything this money's making is just money in the bank right now.
Yeah.
All right, with a splashy premiere at Cannes at time to coincide with the global launch. I can't talk because I am sick. Okay. I blame my cold and my congestion. Fury Road opened to an outstanding 65 million overseas from 68 markets. I feel like we're getting some really parallel numbers here. For a global debut of 109.4 million, the new Mad Max is set to open in Japan on June 20th, but no date has been secured for China yet.
Oh, did Shinstock do that?
Yeah, they got it.
He did that.
That. I mean, first of all, let's just point out that while Mad Max was number two in the U.S., it was number one across the world. That makes me very happy. It was only by 1 million, but it still beat Pitch Perfect.
Does that make you proud or not proud to be an American?
It's a mix, I'll tell you. But I am glad about this because, listen, Fury Road, like Pitch Perfect, cost $29 million. This was like anywhere from 150 to 180 million to make Fury Road. So I just want to make its money back because I want movies like this to be rewarded.
It will make its money
back.
It's
a big chance. It will. And that's why I'm like so happy to see it's at 109 already. Because if it wasn't, I'd be very sad.
All right. The big news for Avengers Age of Ultron is, guess what? It opened in China. That began on Tuesday. The six-day start brought in an incredible haul of $156.3 million. That's in 6 days, China, $156 million. Bringing the international total to $770.5 million and crossing the billion-dollar mark for the worldwide gross. Wow. 1.14 billion Avengers. You are also in the billion-dollar club.
When we are talking about that much money, I can't even picture what... Like, that movie has done so well. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you could... It could stop... Nobody could see it again after tomorrow, and it still would have done incredibly well.
Yes, to help you with that, to place it for you, is the 8th highest grossing film of all time and has plenty of business left. Yeah. Like, it just opened in China this week, so we still have more room. And its final market will be Japan in July, and it's possible that it could reach 1.5 billion, and it's also possible that it could edge out the 1.52 billion of the first Avengers. So we will have to see how it stacks up. But congratulations to a movie that definitely made its money back.
I mean, it's the Marvel property. I'm really curious to see how Ant-Man's going to do because it is Marvel, and anything with the Marvel logo is guaranteed to be a hit. But is it going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy type hit? I don't know. It's the jury's out on that, and I'm just really curious because, I mean, Paul Rudd is, like, the only really famous person in that movie. I mean, Michael Douglas is a side character. He's not got the kind of star pull you would get from, like, people don't run out of China to see Michael Douglas in the movie.
Yeah, I got to see an exclusive Ant-Man little thing when I was at the upfront.
Just a little thing? Okay.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, I think that it's going to be really good.
I've actually heard positive things. I think that people... The immediate reaction is to kind of go, really? But they've been pushing that this has a lot of story behind it and is directed really well. It seems that we have a caller. I have an inkling who it might be, but maybe we should check that out.
What?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Finstock?
Hey, this is
Tom.
This is Tom Dagnino.
Sorry, I said Finstock. I apologize.
Is it?
I can't let
Can
it go.
Can you prove that?
Hey, what's up, ladies and gentlemen?
Hello.
I'm in New York. I'm in New York right now.
I know.
I'm working on the aqueduct that remember in Die Hard 3 that Honda's cousin was working on?
Yeah.
That's where I am right now, in the aqueduct.
It does sound kind of echoey. Sick, by the way, so if you hear any...
I was going to assume that the echo.
I noticed her voice sounded different. That's for sure.
I'm sick.
I'll be back Wednesday to take care of everybody.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Are you calling to annoy us or to do something productive?
Well, a little bit of both. did you guys answer my question in the front?
No. You know what happened? I left the question in my bag and I had to run out of my seat to go grab it, but I have it right here.
Okay. What's the question?
Hold on. No.
It's on a folded piece of paper.
This is what Finstock gave me.
Have you read it? Do you know what this says?
You haven't opened it?
Promises box office related, so let me see. Have Roxy and Sarah ever made out, whether on purpose or by accident? Okay, that's not.
That is not box office.
Come on, man.
You really didn't open it? I didn't. I would have opened it if I were you.
You said questions. It was the only question on there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I took everyone out of them up, because that's the only real
Is this an after-hour show? Because I don't think so.
Wow.
Wrong.
No, I was in New York at Roxy. We've seen each other.
Yeah, we were.
Oh, you
we
did? Wait, yeah. You hung out with Finstock?
Yeah, I got to hang out with Finstock. It was nice. You got to meet some of my friends from back home.
Yeah, it was really fun. And then she was telling me her and her friends went and seen Chocolate City.
Chocolate City? Is that a...
That's like the Magic Mike, but...
It's like the African-American version of Magic Mike.
Oh, you went and saw it?
No, we didn't. I'm not even going to play along with this game. We didn't go. It's not what I did when I was in New York.
Now, we were before we get into the international title game, me and JTE did see Mad Max. It was incredible.
We've already been over that.
And then we had something crazy happen afterwards.
I didn't tell you
Sean Penn and Charlize Theron.
Yeah, it was in Beverly Hills.
JTE, you want to elaborate?
Yeah, and I remember because it was like 20 minutes into the movie, and it was 3D, so we're watching with 3D glasses, mm-hmm. and you like nudged me, and you're like, look who just walked in. You know how they didn't come and sit down? It was almost like they just wanted to see how the audience would react to the movie. I was like, it's Charlize Theron. And you're like, yeah. I was like, oh my God, she must have just trying to see like what the reaction
the
is.
Audience.
Yeah, gauge an audience. And then there was somebody with her, and I wasn't sure if it was Sean Penn, but you were like confident right off the bat. He was like, that's Sean Penn. I was like, how do you know? He goes, he's like, Charlize does not leave the house unless Sean Penn's with her. And I was like,
right.
And I was like, okay.
I disagree with that.
I also disagree.
But literally 2 minutes later, they left. And then, go ahead, Fitzhugh. After we left, it kind of got crazy.
We took off. I guess they stayed for a little while longer. We got out of there, and we see them walking. And Sean, there's a lot of paparazzi and stuff like that. So as we make the corner turn, we notice that he like kind of yanks Charlize across the way. I'm like, wow. That was pretty forceful. I mean, maybe he didn't like a performance. Maybe something was going on.
I thought they were just trying to get away from the photographers, though. I didn't think that.
Correct. So me and JT were like, you know, well, let's go see what's up. He was like, look, either way, we're going to get our ass kicked if we interfere. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much the case. So as we went around and saw them around the corner, he was forcefully, like, kissing her, but it was passionate.
Yeah,
and,
it was passionate.
He gave us,
is he lying?
He just kept walking.
JT, look me in the eye.
He literally pushed her around a corner like they were trying to get away from paparazzi. It's at Century City Mall in Beverly Hills. You know how, like, once you walk out, there's, like, the escalator?
Yeah.
But, like, and you go down, you just, like, walk out towards, like, Santa Monica Boulevard?
Okay.
There's literally a corner. There's literally not even a store there. It's just, like, a corner of concrete. It's, like, a dark corner, and he just kind of pushed her over. And we tried not to make eye contact because we figured, you know, they're trying to get away from people and they're just making out in the corner.
Like it made him hot and heavy to watch her in that.
Listen, they probably do that every chance he gets.
If I was a child, I would do it every single second.
I don't know if I believe this story, so I'm just going to say let's go to the international numbers game, please. Thank
you. Break out the Rosetta Stone because it's time for the international title game.
Al esfuerzo y al heroísmo de una revolución no lo queremos.
Every time.
I know.
Every time.
It's amazing.
Did JT do his thing?
Of course.
Of course I did.
All right, please. What are we playing today? Are we picking the false or the true?
You're going to have to pick the false one.
Okay.
All right, perfect. Let's get going.
These are all coming from my favorite place, China. And JT, I disagree with you. I really believe that they do go see movies in China because of Michael Douglas.
Because of Black Rain?
Correct.
The Ridley Scott
movie. And since the Marvel thing, it's also, there's going to be a lot of kids named Hulk hanging out in China soon within the next 10 years. Hulk Wang. Okay, anyway, that being said, here we go. Pick the false one, all from China.
Okay.
Naked Gun, 2.5.
Okay, I see.
Smell of Fear. A Man Standing on a Bullet. Okay.
Okay.
That was the one sheet.
That was the cover of the poster.
Yeah. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Las Vegas Graffiti.
Okay.
Not American Graffiti.
Las Vegas Graffiti. Okay.
Hot Shots. Machine Fly. Fake Devil Story.
Oof. Schwarzenegger's not in that one, so that one's confusing.
Yeah, but Stallone is also called the devil there, too.
Yeah, but he was in Hot Shots.
Yeah, but it says Fake Devil.
Oh, is it Hot Shots Part 2?
No, Hot Shots Part 1.
Oh, okay. All right.
And New Jack City.
Oh, great movie.
With Ice-T and Judd Nelson
and Wesley Snipes.
Mario Van Peebles. Life is Hot. in Cracktown.
Life is hot in Cracktown.
I was going to use a Hot Pursuit one, which is called Spicy Larry, but I lent it to Mark for AMC. It was really funny. But anyway, let's go again.
Let's just run through them real quick.
22
this
and a half.
Tough one.
Smell of Fear. A Man Standing on a Bullet.
Okay.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Las Vegas Graffiti. Hot Shots. Machine Fly. Fake Devil Story. New Jack City. Life is Hot in Cracktown.
Okay, so the only one I believe is the first one. So, since I'm always wrong, I'm going to guess the first one is a lie. Because that's how I play this game.
I'm going between 1 and 4, and I'm really having trouble trying to figure this out.
Well, I picked 1.
I'm going to go with 4 then. Because I don't think those words translate quite the same.
New Jack City, life is hot in Cracktown?
Yeah. Cracktown kind of threw me.
I'm going to go with 3. The Hot Shots.
The Hot Shots.
Oh, Machine Fly, Fake Devil Story?
It's yeah. 2. Yeah.
There's so much.
All right. Okay. Well, we got to ask Engineer. What are we looking at here, buddy?
I'm thinking Fear and Loathing.
Oh good. Geez. We're across the board.
Oh,
wow.
So someone
is going
Someone's going to be right. Someone's going to be right. It's right. And the right person is Roxy.
No!
Woo!
What?
Yes.
Wow. Well done.
I'm really happy you won.
Thank you. Honestly, this means a lot to me.
It's Machine Fly Story. I threw in Fake Devil.
Fake Devil, yeah. That was a curveball.
It's because we spent time together in New York. I'm really starting to understand you.
She did predict things you were saying.
She really does understand me. We had a really long, thorough talk.
Thank you for calling and playing the game, and I hope you enjoy New York and whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
You come back next week?
I'll be back on Wednesday. I am actually at Citi Field in about 20 minutes right after the Aqueduct stuff, and I'm going to see I'm going to be in the front row for Harvey night. So if anybody's watching the Met game, wanted to watch it, and you'll definitely see me on there. I'll have a Met hat on, and I'll probably have my shirt off.
Okay, keep
that
us posted.
That means people will be turning off their tongue.
Life is hot and Cracktown, yes.
All right.
Yeah, life is hot and Cracktown. I was going to get my top 5 real quick before you guys do it. Is that cool or no?
Please
do. Please.
Okay.
I'd like to hear
All right, real quick. I mean, Pitch Perfect is absolutely crazy. That's tons of money. I'm going to go Tomorrowland, 1.
Okay.
I'm going to go Pitch Perfect, 2. Poltergeist, 3.
No way. Okay.
Mad Max 4
and
Avengers 5.
Wow.
Okay.
Disagree with you, as usual.
I can see it. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be by your guys' house when I land up.
Perfect. Great.
Later, Tom.
All right. Let's get into our top 5 list for the week.
Yes.
And we are going to be focusing on the very talented Miss Anna Kendrick.
Yeah. We've talked about her in the past because of, what was that? Into the Woods.
She's
I think we're
actress.
Talking about her. Yeah. Yeah. She's an actress. But she's very versatile. Like, and somebody corrected me after one of our episodes. She started off in like Broadway and stuff like that. Apparently, that's what they're telling me. She started off in theater. And
I mean, I'm not
singing.
Surprised she's a theater artist.
Yeah.
But I think that I'm just going to let's go with her list. I can't focus on exactly where she started because I don't know.
Somebody told me and I was a little shocked. But all right, awesome.
Overall, as an actress, I feel about her that I don't appreciate her voice as much as other people appreciate her voice. I know that she has a really big following. I think she's a really quirky, fun actress.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel. So sometimes, like last 5 years, when I don't feel like she lives up to what I need her to.
As far as singing.
As far as singing goes.
Okay.
But I think she's a knockout actress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
I think she's very talented. We're going to get into our top 5 grossing movies list for Anna Kendrick. Please keep in mind that we will not be including the Twilight movies.
Yes.
We don't really include these movies or any other superhero giant franchise films in these type of lists because they end up taking up the whole thing and we talk about them enough.
And we're trying to forget the Twilight movies ever happened.
And JTE is trying to forget the Twilight movies.
Are you guys Twilight fans?
They're fantastic comedies.
I have never seen a Twilight movie. That is true.
Yeah, I've never seen one either, so God bless America.
I think they're funny. I've seen them. All right, let's go with number five, which is what to expect when... I think it's when you're expecting. I have it written it's here, when expecting. And that was $41.1 million. I believe this movie came out in 2012.
I can't remember anything about this movie. Can you guys refresh my memory?
This was a book that all expecting mothers used to read.
They based the movie on that book?
Yes.
I thought that was like a...
Yes, that's what happened.
It made $41 million. I think that...
If you're going to buy a book called What to Expect When You're Expecting, then you're going to also go see the movie. But, and so it kind of just had a built-in audience.
That book didn't tell a story. It was like information. It's like how to put together a bed or something.
But this movie also incorporated, it had like Cameron Diaz in it. Okay. It had Is that J-Lo Jennifer too? Lopez.
That's right. I remember this now.
It had Matthew Morris, if it had, yeah.
So it's not based on the book, it's just named after the book.
It's inspired by.
Okay, there you go. I can buy that.
It wasn't an informational movie. It wasn't like, when your child is coming, here is what to do.
Although an instructional movie by Cameron Diaz and
Jennifer Lopez
on babies would be quite
The beginning
funny.
Would be amazing.
Why the beginning?
Because that's the baby making. All right, let's go to...
So you're talking about a porn now. That's what we're talking about an informational.
I plead the fifth.
Okay. We're talking about
instructional.
All right, number four, going to Paranorman. Yes. $56 million. You say yes because you have seen it, because you like it. Because
I saw it.
Why?
And I really liked it. I can't remember the name of the studio that does it. It's something with an L. I honestly can't remember. But they do all these movies. What else have they done? They did Caroline. Mm-hmm. I think the last movie was Box
Caroline
Trolls.
Is it Caroline or Coraline?
Coraline. No, you're right. Coraline. Thank you. They did Box Trolls, which came out last year. I really liked Paranorman. It was a really good zombie, fun movie. And actually, the ending actually had a lot of depth to it. Mm. And it was like actually kind of moving.
It had really good reviews.
Yeah.
It had really good reviews.
And it was kid-friendly, correct? So couldn't you...
No, it's definitely kid-friendly, yeah. But that's why the whole movie was very kid-friendly. And then at the very ending, it got a little dark for a kid's movie, in my opinion. And I like that. I like when a kid's movie's not afraid to go a little dark.
It can't go any darker than Lion King. That's one of the darkest movies of all time.
Or Dumbo.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Bambi.
Bambi does it for me.
Yeah, that's why those are the classics.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to get a little dark.
All right, well, number four and number five on this list. So far, I don't really picture as Anna Kendrick movies. They're on her list, but... This number three, of course, is Pitch Perfect, and this is very much the Anna Kendrick movie.
Yep.
$70 million. This is the first one we're talking about, and that was total gross. You might get confused because that's what number two opened to. So Pitch Perfect, when it came out, really big for Anna Kendrick. Yep. She was, you know, the kind of angsty college student forced into this club because of her, more or less her father. Of course, she ends up loving it, and they have such good friends and comedy. And singing.
Let me ask you a question about this movie, because obviously it did really good. $70 million is good for that movie. Mm-hmm. I think the budget was probably around the same the sequel was going for, around $29 million. Mm-hmm. The sequel, you saw it. I didn't see it. Roxy, you were busy. You didn't see it.
I have seen it.
You have seen it. How different is the sequel to the first one? Is it just basically like some people said Austin Powers did this? Like part one was just part two, but a different way. Hangover 1, Hangover 2.
I mean,
same concept. No, just,
Hangover 1 was great. Hangover 2 was not.
No, I totally agree. But that's what I'm saying. Like, is it doing something different? Or is it really just kind of remaking the first movie with the two?
Okay, elements that are the same. You are dealing with pretty much almost the exact same group of girls.
Okay.
They are still an a cappella group. Mm-hmm. They are still singing songs.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you do have that same genre of comedy going on. They do try and throw a lot of other elements into it to make it bigger. Instead of just the national a cappella competition, it is now the international a cappella competition.
Like Mighty Ducks. Mighty Ducks, they're playing in high school. Mighty Ducks, they go to Olympics.
Mighty Ducks.
No, I love Mighty Ducks 1 and 2, but I'm just saying that's what it was. It's like, all
right, you know, they throw in the spice of like certain people wanting more out of life. They throw in the spice of adding new people. They do add in more elements. I found Pitch Perfect 2 really funny. I liked, of course, the singing. It's extremely predictable. I think you walk into that movie expecting that, though, so it doesn't come as a shocker.
Is Hailee Steinfeld, who enters the... She's in the sequel.
Is she kind of
like the Anna Kendrick role in this movie?
No.
That's a great note.
No.
Fair enough.
No.
She... You have to see this movie because it's really hard to talk about without giving away any spoilers. It's good. It's fun. Okay. My audience was laughing out loud. You're not also going into this movie being like, this is going to be nominated for Oscars.
Yeah, of course.
This is a truly moving experience.
No, it's just a
fun
time.
You go in knowing what you're expecting, knowing what's going to happen.
Right. To contradict myself a little bit, though, this Pitch Perfect 1 is one of my favorite of Anna Kendrick's performances. And yes, she's singing in it, but she's so endearing in this movie that I just think it works. Mm-hmm. I love this movie. I love her in it.
We all know.
And I can do the cup dance.
You're not alone.
And
full performance by Roxy.
I can do the whole
this.
Thing. I learned at camp.
Can you do it? We'll do it on Periscope.
Yeah, we'll Periscope it.
Let's go to number two because this is my favorite movie on the list.
Up into the air.
Is that what Superman does? Up into the air.
Oh, yeah. Up.
Am I wrong?
No,
is it not up in the air?
Up in the air.
Up in the air.
Someone wrote on my thing, up into the air.
I wrote this. It was like midnight. I was watching Godzilla while doing this.
Forgot
my attention was not fully on my typing. I apologize.
Goodness. Hopefully your numbers are correct. It's $83.8 million. And has a huge following.
Love this movie. George Clooney, directed by Jason Reitman. I think it was nominated for Best Picture.
It was nominated. Jason was nominated. George was nominated. Yep. Anna Kendrick was
nominated.
That's right, yeah. So I think it had 6 nominations. And it also won screenplay for Golden Globe.
Such a good movie.
I did not remember that this one was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Roxy brought that up. I remembered it being mentioned at the Golden Globes. I kind of remember acting about it. I did not think he got a Best Picture nomination.
Right.
I'm not saying it didn't deserve it. I'm just, for me, that's surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great movie. And Jason Reitman was coming off, I think this was right after Juno. Was this his follow-up to Juno? Yes, it was.
Uh-huh.
And then after this was Young Adult.
What, this was in 2010? So Juno was in 2009?
His first film was Thank You for Smoking.
Right.
His second film was Juno. His third film was Up in the Air. So he was riding off that kind of Oscar
favorite?
Buzz.
What was the men, children, girls, children, men this
That's
year?
The one that came out recently.
That
which
didn't
I heard,
do that well.
Yeah.
Men and women and children and kids.
And he also...
And also your parents.
He also did a movie...
Too with, many words in a title about family.
He did a Kate Winslet, Josh Brolin movie that came out
Ooh,
last year, too. Which,
Labor Day
yeah,
or
which
something,
was not
which just destroyed...
I liked it.
You're the only person I've ever heard say that.
I really liked Young Adult. I thought Young Adult was great, and but since then, he's just, for me, he hasn't lived up to it. But Up in the Air, to me, is his best film. I think George Clooney's great in it, and I think Anna Kendrick, and this is really where Anna Kendrick came onto my map.
Mm.
I didn't really know her. I think Pitch Perfect was after that anyway. But she'd done some smaller stuff before, but to, like Twilight, like we mentioned earlier. I was like, oh, the girl from Twilight? Okay. I'm only, that's how they were kind of talking. That's how they sold it when I heard Up in the Air. It's like, oh, the girl from Twilight's in Up in the Air. I was like, oh, okay, we'll see how it is. And I was like, oh my God, she's great.
Yeah, here's how I gauge things. My little sister remembers nobody's name as an actor or actress. So if she actually starts to know somebody's name, I know that they are a big celebrity and she knows who Anna Kendrick is. So Anna Kendrick has made it.
Into the celebrity world. And that's probably why she got Into the Woods, which is the number one movie on this list with $128 million taking the top spot. Of course, she was surrounded by
huge actors.
Huge nominated.
Yes. Oh my God, I can't believe she got nominated.
Meryl Streep. We have Anna Kendrick joined this. We have Emily Blunt. It was huge for her. Disney dark musical. She took on Cinderella, of course.
She was
Cinderella on it, which is very interesting because obviously Disney also made
a whole Cinderella
film just a couple months later.
Also, she got
brought in character at this year's Oscars as the Cinderella as part of the intro.
Oh, I forgot.
She, you know, really being pulled into the A-lister world.
Right. She's big. She's really big. And I have a feeling that within the next 10 years, maybe none of these movies will even be in her top 5 anymore. I think she's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger.
The one thing I'm surprised when I look at this list, like Into the Woods being a Disney musical coming out around Christmas, I'm surprised they make more than this because I think the reviews were a little mixed. Did you guys see it? I know you guys saw it. I remember I talked to you about this.
The thing is, I love the story. I love Into the Woods.
Yeah, people love the source material.
Right.
But maybe it didn't transition as well into the movie, and
it's
that's
also,
why
it is good. I do, but... view it as a darker film.
Right.
Okay.
I think that for musical lovers, it had, and for Disney lovers, it's going to bring in a lot of people, especially because of the actors. Mm-hmm. But it's not as much I could convince someone to go on a date with me to it. Mm-hmm. I also don't think I would take kids to it.
Gotcha.
As much as movies that came out, like when Cinderella came out a couple months mm-hmm. later, and that kind of ellipsed it for me. Mm.
Well, I think Pitch Perfect 2 will be the new number one when all said and done.
Right. I really think it will, too.
It's going to make over 128 for sure.
Agreed. Well, let's get into our upcoming films, what we have coming out soon. The first on this list, I have so many questions about. That would be Tomorrowland.
Okay.
Bringing up, we just talked about George Clooney starring in this. We also have, what's her name, Robertson, who is a huge rising star. Yep. She is going to be the next America's Sweetheart, I think. Tomorrowland. My gut just doesn't go with this one. I'm not saying it's not going to bring in money because it's Disney, so it will. But I just don't know if it looks good.
Is it mostly about the trailer for you?
I don't like the trailer.
Really?
I'm just really not interested.
You might actually like this movie more because it's getting a lot of mixed reviews. Reviews that came out yesterday, or today actually, and people are giving it everything from disappointing to really good. Uh-huh. It's all over the board. Nothing. There doesn't seem to be like.
Right.
No one seems to be in the middle. You're on one side or the other. It's George Clooney. It is Disney. I think the trailers are actually hurting the movie because the trailers, to me, actually look really good. They're playing the whole mystery. The first teaser trailer of this movie was pretty great. She picks up the pen. Did you not like that?
I liked it at the time, but mm-hmm. it didn't hold up for me. The more times I watched it, I was like, wait a second. This is okay, and then all of a sudden we're in a different place. Mm-hmm. I've been very interested. This movie's been on my radar for a long time. I was a big Under the Dome fan. She's in the. I love George. And I love actually Disneyland. Like going there, I'm a huge Disney girl. Okay. So this movie is right up my alley. I'll see it even if people say it sucks. That's the kind of into this movie I am. But I'm with you, Sarah, that I'm not sure how good it's going to be. I have heard very mixed things.
Has anybody gone to the Tomorrowland exhibit at Disneyland?
Like,
no.
The exhibit or just been to Tomorrowland in general?
They have a preview screening that's about 10-15 minutes that shows George Clooney's character as a boy and how the whole land is created. And then they have a display with behind-the-scenes interviews with Brad Bird, some of the cast, as well as some props.
Then my answer is no, I have not been to that.
I would definitely recommend it. It made my interest jump way, way up.
That's curious. I've talked to some people that have seen this movie, and most of the word I'm getting is disappointed, doesn't live up to the potential.
How do I watch this movie while being on Space Mountain? How do I do that?
I agree.
It's called piracy. Download it, bring your laptop.
Don't get caught.
Here's where I think, from people I talked to, the disappointment comes in Brad Bird. Because a lot is on his shoulders, because we're talking about the guy who did The Incredibles.
Yeah,
He's huge from Pixar. And then he went and he absolutely crushed it with Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol. A lot of people said that was the best Mission Impossible movie of the whole series, and I kind of tend to agree.
You do.
So when you're coming off a huge hit like that, you want to keep the ball rolling. And if it doesn't quite live up to expectations, it's going to be a hit for Brad Bird.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to wait probably 2 weeks and then I'll see this one. But I'm just not excited for it. Can't say I am. Versus the next movie on this list, I think a lot of people are excited for.
No, really? You think a lot of people are excited for this movie?
Yes. Poltergeist?
Not people I'm hanging out with.
I'm getting buzzed.
Really?
Yeah, because the whole clown and the what are you afraid of and all of that. People are.
Here's the thing. It looks like a lazy remake of the original movie. If you're going to remake something like. Which a lot of people say basically Spielberg directed the first Poltergeist. Even though it's Tom Hooper, it's a pretty well-known fact that Spielberg basically took over that production. Mm-hmm. That movie still holds up, and it's fantastic. And nothing in this trailer looks like it's... If you're going to remake a movie, at least make it different enough or try to up the ante. Mm-hmm. I don't get any of that from this trailer. It's the same thing. The clown even looks... Here's what I love about the original film. Spielberg took a regular-looking clown that looked happy... And made it creepy as hell by trying to come to life and kill this kid.
Right.
And the remake, they make the clown look evil. Mm-hmm. They put shadow under his eyes. They make him like almost have look like he has fangs. It's like, yeah, that looks like an evil clown. What Spielberg did in the first one is he just took a regular clown and made it scary.
Well, I think this is going to be a little different. By no means was that by me saying that people are excited about this, am I saying I think this movie's going to be amazing?
Oh no, I hear you saying that.
I hear a lot of buzz. I think it's going to get some decent numbers.
I also don't think that, this is just my personal opinion, that necessarily quality is translated for horror.
That's with a good numbers. Point. That's a very good point.
It's very different into horror survives on one, low budgets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Two, very strong opening weekends. They expect huge drop-offs. Mm-hmm. But you can't. I'm going to always reference Ouija, which took over the box office for like a month, even though it had like the worst reviews on Rotten Tomatoes almost imaginable.
The problem with this, though, is even if it does pretty well, it's going to take a hit because it's opening up the same weekend as Human Centipede. And people, if this is it selling out, they're just going to go see something else because horror is horror. Oof. Like you're saying, I don't think they really care that much about quality, even though the fact that there have been three Human Centipedes well, makes me want to jump.
Here's the thing also, when you open Ouija in like January or February, whenever it came out,
it came out in last fall.
Was like September, October?
Or something like that.
Probably around there. September, October is not a strong month for, and then you're around, you got the Halloween crowd coming in. It's really smooth, like Poltergeist amongst Tomorrowland, Avengers, Pitch Perfect 2, Mad Max, which is getting rave reviews. I just don't see enough room for it. If they released this a couple months earlier, I would actually give it a much better total.
I'm also not sure it's in the best opening month for it.
Yeah, I think it's a terrible month for it. This is like end of August, right when like the summer's dying down. You're trying to grab a few extra dollars. That's when I would have released this movie. If it was a sequel, I almost wish they would have done a straight up sequel instead of a remake. It was just like Poltergeist the reimagining or something. I don't know.
You never know. Well, looking at other things, it can range from everything like Paranormal Activity 2 opened last, mm-hmm. or in 2010 to like 40 million, mm-hmm. versus like you had the remake of Carrie opening to way less, and that also had big name actors and actresses in it. So,
it's funny because Paranormal is a franchise. Poltergeist, a lot like Mad Max, is movies 25, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's the last time a Poltergeist movie actually came out. Mm-hmm. So it's not really like, kids these days probably don't even know the original that well. So
they might not know the original, but that might push them to see it because Poltergeist has a huge name. It has you should see this as a classic. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a whole generation who wasn't really introduced to Poltergeist mm-hmm. had that scare factor that everyone else had, that this is their chance to kind of get in the loop a little bit more.
Oh, please. If you're a parent, go rent the original and let your kid watch the original.
How old are their kids?
I don't know.
He's saying
that's
that because
question.
He's a film lover. And
I am. It's tough for me to divorce that part. The thing is, the trailer is just... Listen, when I hear Poltergeist remake, I wasn't exactly like, oh, don't make this movie. The original is too good. I say that now because I've seen the trailer. Mm-hmm. And nothing about that trailer excites me. How many times are these horror movies going to have somebody on the floor on their bed and just violently get dragged out by a ghost?
Yeah.
It's in every horror movie trailer now.
It's like, but it's also in some great horror movies.
It was in Paranormal Activity. I feel like that's the way it started it. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like every horror movie feels like it needs to do that to let you know it's going to be like that. I don't know. It's just some of these... That's my problem with horror movies in general. It's just... Same stuff over and over. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm getting off subject.
All right. Also coming out, just to mention, is Roxy mentioned The Human Centipede. We're going to rip that into the horror. So the last one we're going to put on the list is Aloft.
Yep.
Which I have not heard a lot about. It's a little bit confusing when you go on an IMDb. It doesn't list it as 2015. It's like right listed as like 2014.
Oh, might have hit the festivals last year.
So it does it seems to have good critical response.
Yep.
But... I haven't been hearing a ton about it. Have you guys been seeing any marketing or?
Very little. Just, I know Jennifer Connelly starring in it, and she's one of the most beautiful humans in the world.
Right. I love her, and I don't know much about this movie. I probably will see it in 3 weeks.
For me, it's a Netflix.
Yeah.
I'll catch out when it hits Netflix.
Yeah, because in 3 weeks there's going to be more stuff.
I feel like I'm going to forget about it by the time it hits Netflix. I'm sorry. I'm probably going to be like, was this movie made 10 years ago? Like, she doesn't age, so who knows when her movies actually take place.
Unless it's awesome and people start talking about it being awesome. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's going to take a little bit.
You know, it's smart to release some of these smaller indie films during the summer because sometimes, maybe not yet, but like July and
they
August,
pick up the buzz.
You're going to get burnt out from explosions, and every once in a while there's that one indie film that kind of breaks out during the summer. Like Ex Machina kind of did it a little bit right around Fast 7, but it kind of got the jump before the summer.
You finally got the pronunciation.
Ex Machina,
yeah.
No, he got it wrong.
Is it wrong? Ex Machina.
Machina.
He's forgetting the N.
Damn it.
Almost. I thought I heard it. You were hoping.
Better than X Machina, so.
You were wishful thinking.
All right, that concludes our upcoming films, so we need to now incorporate those into our predictions. Let's reiterate, of course, we have Mr. Tom's predictions, who he gave to us a couple minutes ago, in case you missed it. He had number one going to Tomorrowland, number two going to Pitch Perfect, then Poltergeist, then Mad Max, and then finally rounding off the top five is going to be Avengers. This, again, was Tom's list. I know that now. Guess who I'm going to pass it to?
Roxy.
No.
I have my list.
Roxy.
You're looking at me, I'm like, Roxy.
I thought Roxy wanted to go last. I will pass it to Roxy.
I'm number one Tomorrow, number two Mad Max, number three Pitch Perfect, number four Poltergeist, and number five Age of Ultron.
Wow.
Okay.
I like that you put Mad Max number two.
I think that Mad Max is going to... because it didn't do as well this week and people have said how amazing it is. Anybody who was desperate to see Pitch Perfect saw it opening weekend.
True. That's a
so
very good point.
I do think that they will switch, but be very close.
I'm very close to you. I have number one Tomorrowland. I think George Clooney.
How much do you think that's bringing in?
How much? I think it's going to be 45. Close to 50. Yeah, I was going to say around 50.
Okay.
45 to 50, anywhere in that area.
It might do a little better than Mad Max, but not nearly as well as Pitch Perfect too.
Then number two, I'm going to put Pitch Perfect 2, but it's going to be very close with Mad Max. I think Mad Max is going to have a very small drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
But because Pitch Perfect did make $70 million, even if it had like a
40%,
right.
So higher.
It's still pretty high, so I'm going to give it to number two. Number three will be Mad Max because of word of mouth. Everyone's raving about it. Then Poltergeist number four for me. I think it's going to crowd top five, but it's going to be after Mad Max and Pitch Perfect 2 because I just don't think the interest is there. And reviews, I don't think it's... the reviews don't come out till Thursday, the day before the movie comes out. That's a bad sign, people. Mm. And I think it's going to make movements of money Friday, maybe some Saturday, then word's going to get around. It's not that good. Then number five, Avengers. Avengers ain't leaving top five until probably the next week.
All right. I think that's really strong. I'm really interested in what Tomorrowland's going to do.
Do you think there's a chance it won't get number one?
I do. I think there is a slight chance.
To beating out by Mad Max or beating out by Pitch Perfect?
Pitch Perfect.
Holy cow. Yeah, that'd be crazy.
I think that Pitch Perfect's still going to bring in like 40.
Yeah.
Maybe 37-ish. Mm-hmm. And I'm not fully convinced about Tomorrowland. I don't think it's really... it's a Disney thing, but I don't think they've marketed to like the kid friendly nature of it.
Okay.
So I don't think you're getting the same audience as like, oh, now we have to take our kids to go see Home. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the parents are thinking. Like, is this a kid friendly movie? Because off the trailers I've seen, it seems like it's kind of going above the smaller child like thought level.
Okay.
It does have the fun and the flying and this whole new world, but I don't really think this movie is as much about that as they're making it about like this mystery, like someone's chasing her avenue. Other than that, my list is completely like yours,
okay.
JTE. So I don't know if I want to be different and just be like, Tomorrowland's not going to take it or not. But I feel like I just have... I'm going to try and go with my brain this time. I'm actually going the same as JT. So Tomorrowland, number one. Pitch Perfect, number two. Three, Mad Max. Number four, Poltergeist. Number five, Avengers. My biggest thing is I think that Tomorrowland might not do as well as we
all
really
right, so
think.
In case there's a tie between us, let's do a...
okay.
Let's do an exact number for
Tomorrowland.
I'll let you go first. Ladies first.
I'm going to go with about 48.
48? I will go 45.
I said 45. You said 50. She said 48. You said 45.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're not going to tie because you have different listeners.
Right. But you stole. So you're a thief.
No. When you said, I said exactly that. I said anywhere from 45 to 50. She took 48. I'll take the under, 45.
Even though I'm the one who just said that, I hope it comes in second.
Yeah.
But fine.
Well, because I think, like I said, I think Pitch Perfect is going to make close to 40. I think Mad Max is going to have a very small drop off and be around 35 to 38.
I honestly think that Mad Max is going to beat out Pitch Perfect.
I hope. Listen, nothing will make me happier if you're right. I'll tell you that right now.
What is the chance that
you're rooting
humans?
For me. I am rooting for you.
What is the chance that human centipede
makes top five?
No. It's not going anywhere.
I mean, I think more likely than that is neither Poltergeist or Human Centipede making top five. and them both getting beat out and Paul Blart still being in the top freaking.
It's not making enough money. That those movies are only making, our top, bottom of the top five right now is making what, $5 million? It's too easy to beat that out.
That's true.
But you know what? I can just say I'll be happy if I, as I was last week, I just want to be done talking about a certain movie.
Right. Yeah, the only thing I would be surprised, the only thing that might happen on my list, I feel like, is there's a possibility Avengers is number 4 and Poltergeist is 5. Mm. I'm going to give Poltergeist a slight edge just because it is horror. But I wouldn't be surprised if Avengers was number 4.
So you would think that they could make, I mean, next week Avengers isn't going to make less than $5 million. You think Poltergeist could make less than that?
Well, Avengers made...
Or you think that they could make... Oh, they're making 10 right now?
Avengers made 38, right? Let's say it makes 25 this week. I think Poltergeist could pull in around 20.
Okay.
I just...
Yeah, 20. Hmm.
Yeah. Well... It'll be close.
I'm about to have a sneezing fit, so I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you for coming into Box Office Breakdown Popcorn Talk. Please come back next Monday. Roxy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks
you
were
so much more wonderful than our normal.
Where can we get you on social media?
You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
Feel free to boot out what's his name anytime you want.
He was a good call, though. It's nice to have him call in.
Yeah. Agreed. We've got Facebook. We've got iTunes. We've got... Well, they've got Twitters, so please.
Yeah. At Schmoes JTE. Also, I have a podcast called JTE Movie Thinks, and I'll have Chris Stuckman on this week. So tune in, subscribe on iTunes.
I love him.
He's great.
Mm-hmm. Rox, they can find you
at Roxy Stryer, which is also where you can find Sarah, because apparently you guys tweet everything at her at me anyway, which is great. I pass on the message.
That's great.
So thank you all so much. Great to be talking with you. Sorry we didn't take any callers this week, because we gave our caller slot to Tom, and I'm sick. Yeah.
Get better, Sarah.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.